You'll find the scripture lesson in the bulletins. John chapter 11, it's verse 25 out of the New International Version. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." May God bless us as we look to his holy word. Back about 15 years ago, this story was run by the Associated Press. When Mary Bratcher of Artesia, New Mexico, ran over her dog, the consensus in the family was that Brownie was dead, so they buried him in a field. But Bratcher's three-year-old son, Toby, refused to believe it. "Brownie not dead," the boy said. Brownie didn't believe it either. The following afternoon, when the family returned from a trip to Carlsbad, 30 miles away, a dirt-covered Brownie was on the porch. "He was real cold and he wasn't breathing real good," Mary Bratcher said. "It freaked me out big time. I didn't want my kids to see him." The mixed-breed dog lost an eye and broke his right shoulder in the accident, but he was no ghost, veterinarian William Livingston said Tuesday. "Of course he wasn't dead. He was probably in a coma," Livingston said. "The dog has responded well to treatment and now has a new name, Lazarus, after the biblical figure who was raised from the dead," Livingston said. "It's an awfully nice dog, a sweet dog," Livingston said. The Bratchers aren't sure whether Brownie slash Lazarus rescued himself February 10th or was dug out of his premature grave by his mother, pretty girl, sister, little girl, and his brothers. "His mother was there lying with him when I drove up," Mary Bratcher said. There are many animals buried on the Bratcher ranch, including cows, horses, and other dogs, according to Toby's grandmother, Irma Bratcher. "This is the first time we've ever had a resurrection," she said. Now, today we're looking at the greatest of all the miracles that Jesus did, and that is the raising of this dog's namesake, the one that the dog was named after, Lazarus, from the grave after he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. That day, Jesus proved that he has life in him. The struggle against death has been around as long as there have been people. 20 centuries after this event, we still struggle with death. We can postpone it sometimes, but there's no way that we can prevent it in the end. Only Jesus can deliver us from death. And as we head into the Easter season, it's good for us to turn to God's holy word to learn this truth. Look at the first three verses of chapter 11. "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Lazarus, that's merely the Greek version of the name, Hebrew name Eleazar. And they lived in the village of Bethany, which was just over the crest of the Mount of Olives, less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. I walked up the Mount of Olives when I was in Israel and made it to Bethany. It's a very easy walk. The home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus was a place that Jesus went often. They were very close friends of his, and he often enjoyed their hospitality. And from the hints we get in the text, they were people of means. Jesus didn't just associate with poor people. He would associate with anybody who loved the Lord, and these were his friends. In Luke 10, we read of one dinner there where Martha was working feverishly to get the meal on the table. And Mary, her sister, was not helping her. Rather, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just soaking up everything he had to say. Martha got mad and said, "Don't you care that I'm working all by myself in the kitchen, Jesus? Tell Martha to get up and help me." And Jesus chided her very gently and said, "You're worried about so many things, Martha. Mary's paying attention to what's really important, and that will never be taken away from her." Mary had a special reason to love Jesus. We're told in Luke 8:2 that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. Evidently, at some point, she got mixed up in something she shouldn't have been mixed up in, and she was a lost soul until Jesus delivered her from the power of the devil. That's why it mentions here, the next chapter, in chapter 12, we see the incident of her anointing Jesus with the perfume and wiping his feet with her hair. She's so grateful. Well, when Lazarus fell ill, Mary and Martha knew exactly what to do. They sent for Jesus. He could heal their brother, make him well again. And of course, when Jesus got that message, he dropped what he was doing and took off right away for Bethany. Wrong. Verses 4 to 6. "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was 2 more days. At the same time, though, we get the impression that Jesus is being told that he has to stay, that if he had his druthers, he would have taken off and gone. Because all of a sudden, after those 2 days, he got up and told his disciples, "Come on, let's get going, pack up, we're going to Bethany right now." And this puzzled the disciples. You know, hadn't Jesus said that Lazarus wasn't so sick that he was going to die? And besides, it was dangerous for Jesus to go into Judea again. The Jewish leaders really wanted to kill him. And they were probably very relieved when he didn't take off and go right away. And when they objected, though, Jesus said, "Aren't there 12 hours in a day? Only those who walk at night stumble. Let's get going." Jesus told them Lazarus was sleeping. And they said, "Oh, sleeping. Well, that's good. We all sleep. He's going to wake up and he'll be just fine." So then he had to tell them flat out, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, because you're going to see the power of God." Verse 16 has always been fascinating to me. "Then Thomas, called Didymus," or the twin, "said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us all go, that we may die with him.'" This is the man we call Doubting Thomas, because he had trouble getting his head around the resurrection. He was, in fact, a man of great faith. He was willing to go and die with Jesus. So they headed for Bethany. And by the time they got there, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. So you stop and think about it, Jesus leaving 2 days earlier wouldn't have got him there in time to save Lazarus anyway. The Jews in that day didn't practice embalming. They buried someone as soon as death, after death as possible. With that hot climate, the body would decompose quickly. So they buried right away, but then they had their services and their days of mourning afterwards for several days. And many of their friends and neighbors came to pay their respects to Mary and Martha and to mourn with them. Martha heard that Jesus was outside, and so she went to meet him. In verses 21 and 22, she said, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." No doubt she was disappointed. "Why did you get here sooner, Jesus? But even now I know you have power, and you can ask God for this." And Jesus said, the next verse, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said what any number of the mourners that day probably said, that the Old Testament foretold the resurrection of the dead in the future when the kingdom comes. Martha knew these promises, and she took comfort in them. And she was able to tell Jesus, "Yes, I believe he will rise on the last day with everybody else who's trusted in God." It was at that point that Jesus said the words of our text, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Mary, you don't have to wait till the end of the age. The resurrection and the life is standing right in front of you. Anyone who dies believing in me will live forever. Do you believe this, Mary? And Mary said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Well, Martha sent word back to Mary, who was still in the house, that Jesus had come. And Mary tore out of there like a shot. And when she saw Jesus, all she could do was fall down at his feet, weeping bitterly and saying, "If only you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." These next few verses are very powerful to me. Verse 33, "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." That word "deeply moved" is the same word that's used of a horse snorting. It gave a very loud, very audible groan of sorrow in his own heart. He asked where Lazarus, his friend, was buried, and they took him. Then verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, but very long on meaning. Jesus wept. There are literally thousands of sermons in those two words. This impressed the crowd of mourners. They said, "Oh, see how he loved his friend." But then others of them said, "Yes, but if he really loved Lazarus, why didn't he get here and keep him from dying? He did so much for so many others. Couldn't he have helped his friend?" Jesus gave the command to roll the stone away. And that was unheard of. It was a sacrilege to disturb the dead. And as it had been 4 days, there would be a stench by that time. I love the way the King James puts it. Martha said, "He stinketh." Jesus reminded her of what he had said, and so she gave the order that the stone be rolled away. Imagine those men who moved the stone got a good whiff of rotting flesh, and maybe even the rest of the crowd got a smell too. But then Jesus said a prayer, and then he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth!" And soon there was a shuffling noise, and Lazarus, all wrapped up in his grave clothes. I imagine he had to hop almost to get out there, because he's all tied up almost like a mummy in strips of cloth. I wonder how he got up on his feet. I wonder if an angel stood him up, because I don't think he could have stood up on his own, all wrapped up like that. And then Jesus told the bystanders, "Cut him loose, untie him." This was, of course, an absolutely incredible miracle that hundreds of people saw. The people were amazed, and many of them believed in Jesus, but some took a report back to the Jewish leaders and told them what happened, and they were not at all pleased. They held a council, and they said, "What are we going to do? People are really going to believe in Jesus now, and if that happens, the Romans are going to be upset, and they're going to come and take away our country and our place in our country." It's amazing how hard their hearts still were toward Jesus. And this great miracle only made them hate and fear Jesus all the more. Caiaphas, the chief priest, cut to the heart of the matter in verses 49 and 50. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. This Jesus of Nazareth must die, or we will all be killed." John goes on and comments on that in verses 51 and 52. "He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one." And from that day on, they were resolved that they must kill Jesus. And Jesus knew that, and he didn't go down to Jerusalem for a while. He stayed out in a little desert village called Ephraim with his disciples for a few months until it came time for the Passover. The stage is now set for the most eventful week in history, and that's what we're going to start considering next week. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha died when it was their time. All the disciples died. 20 centuries later, we're still dying. Death is the most unavoidable fact of life. Even those two newborn babies that we were privileged to welcome into the Bloomfield family in the past week, little Titus and little Matthew, are in fact dying men. It might take 80, 90, maybe even 100 years, but they will die like everybody else. Like Moses lamented in Psalm 90, verse 10, "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." And then there's the tragedy of life cut short. Our bodies are fragile. They're easily broken in accidents. They're easily killed deliberately. We're prone to all manner of diseases and afflictions like heart disease, cancer, which can end life before it's even half begun. Life does not come with a warranty, 70 years or your money back. So it says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, "No one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it." Death is the enemy that we cannot overcome on our own. But there is one who has overcome death and who offers us victory: the eternal Son of God, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. He became flesh, born in humble circumstances. He lived a sinless life and thus did not deserve to die. And yet he did die, and so he paid for our sins. And all the great saints of the Old Testament died hoping in him. Job said in the midst of his suffering in verses 19 to 25 to 27, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Martha knew these promises, and that's why she was able to tell Jesus that she knew Lazarus would rise again on the last day. What she didn't know until Jesus told her was that the resurrection was standing right there. He asked Martha, "Do you believe?" That's a question for us too. She believed. Do you believe? This is our Christian hope. This is the promise that has comforted generations of believers. Walk through that cemetery out there, and you'll see expressions of faith on so many of the stones. The very earliest Christians used to write on their stones, "with Christ" or "asleep in Christ." The traditional formula in the funeral is earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection into eternal life. We've stood together out in that cemetery and other cemeteries in this area as our loved ones were buried. And so many tears were shed. This is why John 11:35, Jesus wept, is so very precious. Do you ever doubt that Jesus cares? Do you ever wonder if he even knows what you're going through? Don't ever worry about that or doubt that again. Because Jesus feels your pain more than anybody possibly can. Because Jesus died and rose again, we can really live both right now and after we die. Jesus said to his disciples after the Last Supper in John 14:1-3, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Such wonderful comfort that we so desperately need in times of loss. I can't think of a better way to conclude than with the words of John Donne's great poem. "Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. For rest and sleep, which but thy pictures be, much pleasure then from thee much more must flow. And soonest our best men with thee do go. Rest of the bones and soul's delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men. And dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell. And poppies or charms can make us sleep as well. And better than thy stroke, why swellest thou then? One short sleep, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die." Let's pray. Precious Savior, we thank you so much for your powerful word to us today. Whenever we're afraid of death and the future, help us to remember that Jesus has prepared a place for us, and he will come and receive us so that we may be with him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn is number 575 in our blue hymnals, "Shall We Gather at the River."